Welcome to Hungry for God Church free weekly podcast. Enjoy this message. For more information about Hungry for God Church, visit h4gchurch.com.
Our creative team has been planning this for a while, so we want to get into this, and it's going to be a special Valentine's Day edition of a candid talk on love and marriage, and so it's going to be really awesome. And then so we're going to kick off, and we're going to have our introduction done by our brother, Bijan. Bijan, are you ready? You want to do it up here or you want to do it down there? What do you want to do? Come on. All right.
Glory to God. I'm going to read you a poem. It's called Love Within. You know, before I start with the poem, you know, it's already a poem because I'm a realist, right? But I have faith, right? That's really it. That what it is, people talk about love, right? And the Bible says, love thy neighbor as you love thyself, right? That means that many people will say that they love you, but they can only love you to the degree that they love themselves. Which sometimes not really much. So sometimes what they call love, you don't even feel like it's love. So sometimes, that's why I said, what I've realized that a lot of stuff in life, it starts from within, right? If you don't love yourself, you can't really love, you don't really know how to love somebody else. And then the next thing I realized that hurting people hurt people. That's how it is. The people who are hurting, they hurt people and don't even realize it. So I'm gonna read this poem. Love Within. We all love the idea of love, all the glitters and gold. Love thy neighbor as you love thyself. The story has yet to be told. Simple words, as you love yourself. Talk is cheap. Some people don't even like what they see in the mirror. Some rivers run deep, filled with scars, trying to be real with so much to hide. When another person's idea of love left you so broken inside. A mother left, neglecting father, betrayal, physical abuse, verbal abuse, insecurity. It's funny, I guess words can tear you apart. That's why some of you are still looking for the pieces of your broken heart. But the show goes on, no time to mend. You love, hurt, and hurt some more. Still not loving yourself in the end. Hoping someone else's love will help you close that big hole in your chest. And the hole only gets bigger each time you rest. Depression kicks in. At the end of the day, you can't fool everyone, but you can't fool yourself. So you just accept how anyone treats you, for you think you deserve it. You put love on a shelf. Feel like this is the best life we get for someone like you. So you settle for it all. Pray for circumstances, situations, your tears. They seem like they all are ready to fall. Change. Real change only comes from renewing your mind. Change the way you think. Let stuff go. Let it go. I think it's time. Let go of what people said. Let go of what people did. They don't define you. Hurt people hurt people. Hurting people hurt people. They don't know to love themselves, so they don't know to love you. Find yourself. Find yourself. It will take time, but your Creator has made time for you. Love yourself. Maybe then you can learn to love others too. Remember, no matter what negative people say, you are beautiful. You are beautiful. You are beautiful. You are a diamond in the sand. God don't make mistakes. You have purpose. You are love. It's time to let your love stand. Love starts with God and grows.
Hey everyone, praise God. Wasn't that an amazing poem? I guess, praise God. Welcome to H4G Church, our first Q&A love session, starting from our series, Becoming the One. So right now we're just gonna call on our beautiful, wonderful married couples. Let me shout them out. Let me give you guys a beautiful intro. Let me work on my voice. Woo! All right. Beautiful newlyweds of H4G Church, lovely and right, wink. We will welcome Nicole and Daryl Wright. Come on down. Choose the flow. All right, our second couple, you guys might be familiar with. They are our lovely pastor and first lady. 6 years and counting. Van El Samuel. And Janique. Come on down. Come on. Where's the love, y'all? Let me get my Trini accent. We have the beautiful, outstanding, lovely couple of 25 years and counting. Hey. We have Gary. And our beautiful. Come on down. Well. Come on. Looking so lovely. Isn't she lovely? For this evening, and we are going, this is how it's going to work, guys. So we have collected some index cards from you. Some of you have given it to us, some of you haven't, shame on you, but you can keep it. And what we're going to do is call out anybody from the audience with their hands raised, and we're going to give you guys a mic, and you guys are going to ask your questions. Also, we have some questions, like I said, that was already given to us, and some questions that we have from other people from previous. So let's get it started. Are you guys excited? Nah, no, you're not. Let me try this again. Are you guys excited? That's what I'm talking about. So the questions that we want to ask these beautiful couples, we want you guys to be free to ask any questions you'd like. All right? I'm not talking about like, ratchet, but you can cross the little ratchet bridge, just a little bit. So please feel free, any questions you have as far as believers and marriage and what that looks like, I want you guys to be free and open. So without further ado, let's have each and every one of you give us a little description on how you guys met, your names, your signs. No, I'm just kidding. All right, hold on. Yeah, 30 seconds, keep it short.
Hi, my name is Gary Bannister, my beautiful wife, Avila Bannister. I met her in Trinidad many moons ago because we used to work together, and so on. 30 seconds can't do that.
All right, so the guys are gonna do the talking.
How we met? We met at work. We met working together at PS282 in Park Slope at a job I didn't want to go to, but had a purpose there to meet my wife. So the pace to obey the voice of God, especially when you don't want to do it, because you never know what's on the other side of that. So that's how we met.
We actually met at an H4G function.
Whoa!
We have our roots there.
H4G.
Yes. So it was actually before the church started. It was when it was a Bible study, and we met at a, I believe it was like an all-night prayer, like worship gathering thing that we used to do so often. And from there, we just kind of developed a friendship.
Picked up this morning or this afternoon. Forgot we one of those churches. We need afternoon. So let me start off with the first one, and I want you guys all to get an opportunity to answer each couple. So the first question is, why did you get married? Shout out to Tyler Perry. Let's start with our first couple, Gary.
Why did I get married? No, but you know, on a serious note, I think, you know, yes, I was young, but I knew that it was the time, right? I can't explain exactly when is the right time, but I think from what I've, as I got to know her, I knew that this was the lady I'm ready to spend the rest of my life with. So I got married because I met her as well.
Oh, look at that. Well.
Stole my answer.
All of us got
it. Yes, all of you.
Well, the Bible says whoever finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor with the Lord. And so I believed I needed favor for where I was going in life. Now, I really knew, when I was younger, I saw myself getting married young. I actually got married older than I thought I would. I was about 25 when I got married. I thought I was gonna marry at 22 or something like that. But seeing that I was gonna get married, the way that I kind of just knew that I needed a wife to go where I was going, just to keep me stable, keep me focused and grounded. I knew I needed somebody who was going to be by my side and to be my helpmate and to just be someone who I can share my life with. And so when I met her, I got married because I knew I was looking for the one.
Yeah. All right.
Tax benefits.
Jesus, the blood.
But beyond that, for the same reasons that Pastor JR just said, that just looking for someone to kind of share my future and my life with. And honestly, I was just tired of trying the wrong things, to be honest. And I wanted to have something stable for a change. This is the most, we actually had a conversation about this yesterday, but this is probably the most stable fixture that I have in my life. Everything else kind of just seemed so temporary, but when I made this decision, I knew it was going to be long lasting. So.
Aw, praise God, look at that, that was sweet. All right guys, we're going to give you guys an opportunity to ask a question in the live audience. Do we have one of our gentlemen, Ron? That's you. No, Mike. Anybody have a question? Just raise your hands, and Ron will direct the mic to you.
I'll ask you a question.
Okay, why not? Yeah, you need the mic.
How did you know you were in love?
Where do we start? Let the ladies answer this one first.
I think everyone knows when they're in love, can't sleep, butterflies in the stomach. You know, you're thinking about this person all day, every day, all night, every night. You know, everything you do, you try to include them. You know, something like, you know, love from God. You know, in making decisions, you always consult God, you know. The Bible says, acknowledge him in all your ways. Well, it's kind of, it's a similarity. Like anything I had to do, I'll always call him, and any decision I have to make, I'll always say, look, I want to do this, I want to do that, I want that song. And I know we started to make decisions together, opposed to I doing things by myself. That I went through the door and it became us and we. So that's the time I know this is my guy.
For me, it felt completely different than any other relationship that I had been in. It was the most stable, consistent, and I've never really, it's always been hard for me to like sort of put all of my trust, like 100% in an individual, but with Vernell, it was very easy. I never felt as secure with any other person or individual that I felt with him. It was just very easy for me to just give my whole heart. So from there, the fact that I was able to let all of my guards down and just allow him to just be who he was and who he wanted to be in my life, that's how I knew that I was in love.
Hey guys. Similar to Shanique, I would say that I knew because it felt very, very different. Like in past relationships, it was like, oh yeah, we like each other, we're in love. But this one felt like sobering, like very real and very adult. It just felt different. Like I just knew that this was something that God had ordained as opposed to my feelings making decisions. I know that that was different. So that's how I know I was in love.
All right, that was beautiful, guys. Got me trying to get rid of people. All right, next question. What is the proper way to work on communication together as a couple? Anyone can start.
For me, communication is key because I like to talk. And to me, talking is therapeutic. When you talk and you talk and you get things out and it comes like you throw up. So whatever is in you, the Bible says it comes out of you, defiles you. So when you get all this stuff out, all the complaints, all the whys, all the whens, all the hows, all the ifs, all the buts, all the maybes, and you get it all out, and then you can start to deal with things from there, and it starts a whole healing process in a relationship that you get to understand things more and you know exactly what you have to work on.
Awesome. Okay, let me ask another question for the sake of time. What advice can you give to those who desire marriage and God has... Okay, so we're going to skip that question. How did God reveal to you that your husband / wife was who God wanted you to marry? Anyone can... I'll. You know what? You can... answer that question. Do you know?
How did God reveal?
Yeah, how did God reveal to you that your husband or wife was who God wanted you to marry?
I think it was at a moment where I wanted to get married early in my life, but I realized right before I met Shanique, I had never really knew what I was looking for in a wife. Like, I had never really thought through exactly what I was looking for. So after being in different relationships and that didn't work out, I went back to the drawing board and said, what am I looking for? And that was a major part. When I knew what I was looking for, when I saw her, I knew what I was looking for. You know what I mean? And so it happened shortly after. It was about a few months before this. I wrote a list of all the qualities I'm looking for in a wife. And so after that happened and I met Shanique, it was just kind of a matter of not if God was like revealing to me who my wife was, because I kind of knew what I was looking for. It was just a matter now, will I make the choice, because she matches the qualities I'm looking for in a wife. So it was the more that I knew what I wanted and I was looking for, the easier it was for me to make a decision when the opportunity came my way.
Awesome, guys. You hear that? Liz. Write your list, please. Write your list. All right, now one of you guys, anyone have a question they'd like to ask? Raise your hands. Not all at once. Haha, Bianca.
Yes.
Ron, can you grab? Thank you, Ma.
Okay, so I know that I'm going to be a millionaire. I want to know what does the Bible say, or like just what's the right idea about prenuptials?
Well,
no, I'm really serious.
She's so serious. Any couple want to take on that?
I don't think the Bible spoke about prenups. Right? Because I don't think when they get married, they should think about that or think about divorce. You should think about marriage as being sealed and that's it. You shouldn't even think about, you know, what that'll have you paranoid. Yeah. Because it had me in the early, and then it just had to let it go and live. You know? So
yeah. I think when you enter in with that mindset, you've already been defeated.
Yeah.
Because you're entering into marriage with like, well, let me set myself up in the event that this doesn't work. So that's the wrong mindset to have to begin with. I truly believe if you wait on God and you allow God to do the work for you, you won't have to worry about prenups. Because even if you're a millionaire and your finances are totally different, God will work it out. So I don't, yeah, don't go in with that mindset. Exactly. Someone with more money than you. Yeah.
Preaching. All right, anyone else have a question? We'd like to, Bajan? Oh, wait. Go right ahead, brother. Go ahead, Ron. You can give him the mic. Oh, okay. No problem.
My name is Andre.
I think, well, for me, is you gotta look at your significant other and ask yourself, would this person really have my back in times when I really need them to have my back? Because marriage is not a buffet, right? You gotta be in for the hard times too, and the hard times would come. But what are you gonna do when the hard time come, or what your spouse is gonna do when the hard time come? And I think that is a sense of where you see who really have your back and what the definition of true love is. Because everybody, especially, sad to say, but you know, in society today, everybody makes marriage out to be something like, okay, you know, it's all about the day, the ceremony, and after the ceremony, then what? You know, when you get back to reality, then what? Right, so I would say that's where you see where true love really, what is really true love, right? In the hard times.
Just to add to that, I think true love, just going back to the poem that was read earlier, it really has a lot to do with how you view yourself. Because if you, when I think about love, I think about the ultimate sacrifice that you make in the balance that there has to be between you and that person, that you're giving something and they're also giving something. But if you don't know yourself enough and I mean you haven't fallen in love with yourself, then you don't really know what you have to offer. And I think it starts with the self-analysis and just really identifying the qualities that you have in yourself and what you can bring to the table first before you even go out and look for, you know, that the truth. true love. It really starts with you, in my view.
Just one thing, the Bible says there's no greater love than this, and a man lay down his life for his friends. So the realest love, or the greatest love, is expressed through sacrifice. So the person who's both parties willing to sacrifice for one another, that means laying down your life is not just literally dying, but your selfishness, your pride, your ego, just money, time, whatever it is. If two parties are both willing to sacrifice equally, that's actually a sign that you guys really, really love each other, because you're willing to give up yourself for each other. So it's not just sex, it's everything else, you know what I mean? The money, the time, everything, not just all overall the self of a person willing to die for one another. That's true love right there. Love is intentional. Spontaneity comes in the mix of that, because you should be intentional about being spontaneous, right?
Golden nugget.
So it's like you know, yeah, you set up how you want to be spontaneous, but there are some guiding principles regardless of what love is, and then you have to be intentional about it, because you know, you don't just fall in love, you have to stay in love. And that's really the key, is learning how to walk in love and remain in love, and how to nurture love and cultivate it and feed it and fan the flames of it. You know, that's the beauty of it. Learning how to, they say a being a real person or a real man is able to love one person 1,000 ways, when an immature person just wants to love 1,000 people different ways, right? And so it's really just learning how to love one person and keeping that love warm. That's the key. And that's intentional.
That was awesome. Anyone else have any questions? Burning hands? Itching hands? Okay, fine. I got a question. Bijan, there you go. All right.
My question is, everybody knows what to do with good times, right? Mm-hmm. So I know that most families, when you get married, y'all say, oh, you know, we're going to talk until when things go wrong, when child's come. But it don't always work like that. So my question is, how do you guys handle tribulation when it comes?
Anyone can respond.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, talking is therapy.
Yeah.
You know, you sit, you talk, and you have to find out what is the problem. You know, people just sometimes you're mad. What happened? Nothing. What happened? Nothing. You have to say what it is. Say, you know. Yeah, you should know, yeah. I think you should know, you know? Especially us. You know, we think you should know what we're mad about, you know? Talk, say, you know, what it is, you know, have I done you anything, you know? talking is key, and it's therapy. Find out, you know, what it is, or the females, we could say, look, you know, you did something and I'm not happy about it. This, that is what you did. You know, and sometimes poor men, I did that. You know, they lost, like, they're in the headlights. You know, but, and men need to pay more attention too. You do. You need to pay more attention and be a little more sensitive sometimes, and know when you're stepping on the corns.
If I could just add to that, I think one way to deal with tribulations, as you said, is humility. Like, being okay with being wrong, being in touch with your own feelings and emotions, like checking, I call it checking myself. Like, sometimes if I'm angry, the root of it is really fear or insecurity or something like that. So really checking myself and being in touch with my feelings and how I'm projecting that onto him. And yeah, being okay with saying sorry first, no matter what.
She definitely touched on what I was going to say. For me, as I continue to grow in my marriage, I have become more intentional about everything that I do. So even when I'm angry, even when there's something that has angered me about maybe something that Ronell has done, I think about it like, all right, so what happened? Before I just approach him with the situation. Because some sometimes I'm able to resolve it within myself. And there, I don't even have to have a conversation with him. But I think that's very different than when I first started out, where I was more so like, ah, versus like thinking about the situation. Like, would he do that intentionally to hurt me? No. He probably, knowing my husband, he probably didn't even, yeah. And then it'll just be a casual conversation versus, you did such and such and such, an attack. So really thinking about, really, no, I'm serious, really, and you grow in that. It didn't happen overnight. I didn't get to this place overnight, but really thinking about my feelings, like Nicole said, being in touch with my own emotions, being in touch with things that I know kind of rub me the wrong way anyway, so yeah.
Just to add to that also,
yeah.
Again, you asked.
And I had to learn how to dodge the attacks. So before I would fight back with my words, and then I realized nobody's winning here. I'm not. Nobody's winning. So it didn't make. I had to realize: do I just want to fight about this, or do I just want to let this slide and let it pass over? And some things you want to fight about, some things not worth fighting about. And so it takes two people to argue. So I had to realize I'll let her argue with me, and I stand down. And eventually, amen.
Just to add to that, also kind of to piggyback off of what First Lady just said, I think we also have to learn how to identify the issues and really see them for what they are, and not letting anything come in between you and your spouse. This is something that we actually learned in our premarital counseling, that we shouldn't let anything come in between us. So if it's, or anyone, but if a situation arises and let's say your anger flares up, you have to realize that your anger is what's causing a block or a rift between you and your spouse. So if you're coming into this as you're a team, you know, nothing should be able to get in between you and your teammate. So, you know, it then becomes, your attack becomes then at your issue more than your person. So it's like my anger now is something that needs to be defeated. You know, I'm angry at you, but I need to get rid of my anger because that's coming in between me and you. So not letting anything come in between, you know, your partner. One of our good friends, you know, he always makes the analogy, you know, that, you know, when you're viewing your spouse, you know, it should be you guys standing back to back fighting against the world, you know, not facing each other fighting, but back to back, you know, taking on each other, taking on, you know, the problems together, rather than, you know, letting the problems come in between.
Just one other quick thing. The other thing is having someone, a friend, that of course you don't tell and share everything, but sometimes, right, Ebony? Sometimes, right, Char? Sometimes you can run a situation past your friend, like, hey, right, Janice? Like, hey, such and such happened. What do you think about this? And then sometimes you can get that, oh, it's not even that serious. And you're able to let it go before you even address it with your spouse. And again, depending on the situation, you don't tell and share everything. But some small, silly things, scenarios, you can share. Like, what do you think about this? So having an accountability friend or partner.
Awesome. Amir? You got a question, I see.
So, this is mainly for the husbands. Husbands, how do you, you know, they say communication is key. But when you communicate and it's a problem, and when you don't communicate and it's still a problem.
Preach.
Wait, so in the heat of an argument, you keep your mouth shut, it's a problem. And when you verbalize yourself, it's a problem. How do you handle that, man? I want to know. I need the answer. Pastor? Brother Darryl? I still want to hear from the pastor.
You know what? When the argument starts, I just say nothing. You know what? That causes another problem, right? No, but you know, in all fairness, for me as a husband,
what I do. Sometimes, yes. Sometimes I walk away. Sometimes I leave the scene of the crime. Yeah. Cool off, come back, and we could go again. We could have a civilized conversation. You know, because if you stick around, it's gonna make things worse. So you might as well just walk away. Well, I feel it for you, man.
I think, for me, what I've learned is to kind of gauge, and I think it comes from just knowing your spouse and knowing what to do in certain situations. I think the more you get to know the person, you know how to gauge, you know, their level of being upset and how to respond to it. But honestly, I think for me, I should say that I think my wife does a really good job at making sure that whatever she's angry about ultimately will get resolved. So no matter how long it takes, not to say that she's gonna keep combating with me, but you know, if we do flare up, you know, she'll wait till we do get to a point where we can actually communicate at, you know, with wisdom towards each other and not just let the situation go out of hand and it doesn't come to a resolve. But I think you have to be able to just be in it for the long run, to be honest with you, and making sure that at some point you come to a resolve. Whether that's if you do walk away, you know, cool off, but then come back and eventually make sure that the situation, you know, gets solved. You know, don't leave things up in the air, because then that creates more tension and more problems. So,
Pastor?
I think for me, I had to learn to listen for the heart more than just the reactions. So it was like, what's the heart of what she's saying? So like, there were certain times when she would be bringing up a certain thing all the time, like, I thought we dealt with this like 5 times ago. Why is it still coming up? You know, so after I realized, yeah, right, that's what I had to get to the heart of the matter. And it'll be something like, it wasn't even really that. You know, it's kind of like, you just kind of like listen to the heart instead of just reacting to the emotions and the anger. Because if you react to anger, you know, it's just gonna, nothing good is going to come out of that. And so instead of reacting to the anger, it's kind of like, all right, I'm hearing what she's saying, but then processing and trying to listen behind what she's saying and get to the root of it. So just kind of, you got to kind of be a, you know, so you don't really got certain things I've learned too. Sometimes they don't really want you to say anything. They just want you to hear. They want you to hear them. Well. So I had to learn. I had to learn to just understand. I hear what you're saying. And
hear and then change your action.
Yeah. So Amir said a husband should be a prophet. Yes, in some regards.
Absolutely.
You got to be prophetic in that nature. And then you're a priest and a prophet of your home. Pray, ask God to show me what's going on behind it. You really need wisdom.
That's right. You hear that? Holy Ghost. Okay, we have an interesting question from one of our beautiful audience members. How do you feel about waiting to have sex until you are married?
Yeah, so you see the shirt right here. It's waiting for the question to ask.
I begged him not to buy this shirt.
I thought it was fitting for the occasion. All right, so here's a common term today.
What does this shirt mean?
What does this mean, Pastor?
Oh.
For those of us who may not.
Nothing good.
All right, so it's a common term. You could Google it or something, but it's one of the many plots and schemes of the enemy to try to cause us to just be unintentional about our time. You know, Netflix and chill is you put on a Netflix movie and let the movie watch you. You just chill. Just, we don't know what's going to happen. Or we're just going to watch this movie. We're all alone in this room or in this house and we're just going to watch the movies. Until, you know, we're just chilling. And I found that because I used to work with teenagers all the time and they were starting to use this word chill a lot. and we just go to chill. And he's not really my boyfriend. It's not my girlfriend. We're just friends, and we just gonna chill. And so, it was kind of like they didn't want to say what they were going to do. I don't know what's gonna happen, but we're just gonna hang out and chill, and then which leads to whatever happens after. I don't know. This kind of like I don't know what's gonna happen type of mentality, and that's why you have to be intentional. And you know, it's important that we are intentional, because a lot of the problems that happens before we get married is because we didn't protect our purity. See, purity, it helps us evade a lot of problems. The lives get complicated because we're not living pure lives. So we're getting confused, we're getting mixed and meshed with all types of people and getting involved in so many different relationships unintentionally, and then it becomes complicated, right? And so what we need to do, we need to mark and put a big X here. You don't wanna have any Netflix and chill moments. You wanna be intentional. If I'm going to spend time at this person's house at 11 p.m., and at 11 p.m. at night, we're just gonna watch some movies and we don't know what's gonna happen. Come on. All right, we know what's going to happen. So I think that, what was the question?
Or it's usually, nothing's gonna happen. You're lying to yourself.
So what was the question again?
You
should wait. First of all, besides the fact the Bible defines that and says that that's the best thing to do, God says it's the best thing to do because He knows better. He knows best. I think that's where it comes in. A lot of issues and the complications that come. We have marital issues primarily, especially if we get married, because we had these issues before we got married. You know, we had love lives with all these different partners before we met this person, and that comes into the bedroom. That comes into the marriage and the relationship. So being pure helps to protect your heart, protects your emotions, it keeps you grounded, it just gets you in the right frame of mind so that when you do meet the right one, you're ready for them because you have a clear mind, you have a clear conscience, you're ready and you're willing to do whatever it will take because you don't have all these other issues and complications.
Just to add to that as well, I think that people in general I can say that I at one point was guilty of it. I don't understand the gravity of sex, really, and just don't understand the weight that it carries. You know, we think of it as just a physical activity, but it's so much more than that. You know, if you really look at the purpose of sex and what God designed it for, it was really to bring people closer together. It's the highest form of intimacy. So, you know, we're so concerned in today's world about, you know, STDs, about sexually transmitted diseases, but they're also spiritually transmitted diseases, and you're literally opening up your spirit to someone, you know, when you lay with them. This is how the Bible describes it. So there's a lot of things that come along with, you know, opening up yourself and laying with someone that's beyond just the physical. I'll share this with you guys because it scared me and it shocked me. You know, again, in our premarital counseling, you know, one of the things that our counselor had described to us was just the generational curses, you know, that people kind of carry and attach themselves to. And he broke it, I forget the scripture, but he broke it down and said that I think a generational curse lasts like 40 years or something like that. And he basically was saying that every time you lay with someone that's not your spouse or someone that, you know, you weren't intended to marry, you're then taking on, you know, their baggage and their issues and, you know, all the general curses that they have. But not only that, all the generational curses that person had. So if you think about it, it just becomes a pile and a pile of more and more just things that you don't want. And what really scared me, to be honest with you, is that these are things that I didn't want to pass on to my kids. Because that's really where the generational curse continues. You know, you pass it on to your children. So that was a wake-up call for me, you know, to kind of make sure that those that are around me that are not married, that I make sure that they're keeping themselves pure, you know, so you don't pass on anything generationally.
Awesome, awesome. Speaking of which, children, that is, someone asked, how many kids is enough kids?
It all depends. I think that's choice between you and your spouse, I would hope that you would use wisdom, right? But again, it's what God gives you. You're overwhelmed as it is. So we have to use judgment. You're having a very difficult time raising the five that you have. So why would you take on the responsibility of one more? So it's like, why would you put yourself in a predicament to have more when you can't really provide for the ones that you already have? So use wisdom, right? In all things that we should use wisdom. And again, I'm not the one to tell anybody how many kids they should have, but.
That's it. All right, awesome. So I have another question here. What does submission mean to you?
To me, submission simply means being available. You know, letting our husbands know, hey, I'm submitted to you. I'm always available. That's what submission means to me. I don't take it personal. Some women take it so submission, like, you know, you're supposed to be the army and submit to them, you know, whatever you want, whatever. And that's not really submission. Submission to me, I don't know how the rest of you take it, it's simply being available to your husband, you know, and not, you know, keeping things away from him that he should have, not depriving him of, you know, things and just making yourself available, you know?
submission was definitely something that I had to learn to do. Just being always very headstrong and kind of always focused and kind of doing my own thing. But submission to me means allowing my husband to lead me and my family. So that's what submission means to me.
I would say that submission was definitely a challenge for me as well. Because being single or being unmarried, you're, to some extent, you're in control. Like, you make the decisions, the day-to-day decisions, like those kinds of things. But I think for me, I'm learning that submission means trust. Like, I have to be able to trust him and his decision-making in order to submit, like, to his vision for our family. So,
you know, if I could just add something to that. Now, Christ is the head of my life. I'm the head of my household. My wife, yes, she's submissive to me. But, you know, let me just say that without her, she's like my neck. So yes, I'm the head, she's my neck. Right? And
wow, now petty, now petty.
So yeah, so while she's submissive, that doesn't mean that she doesn't have a say in whatever is coming in or whatever we decide. So, you know, sometimes, you know, as men, we like to feel, okay, yeah, it's my way or no way, you know, but no. You know, sometimes we brothers, we gotta know it's both of us. It's both of us. All right.
All right, awesome. Okay, so we got two more questions.
Yeah. The question that I have is, how do you deal with, am I asking the wrong question?
No, I'm like, where is that voice coming from?
It's your inner voice.
Apparently,
So the question that I have is, how do you deal with the balancing your career with your marriage?
That's not, the couple? We got two of the couples can answer that question.
How do I deal with balancing my career and my marriage, right?
Yes.
So again, that goes into submission as well. For me, not making decisions without my husband, right? Because when you make decisions alone without consulting your spouse, sometimes it can sort of drive a wedge between you guys, but when you sit down intentionally and you have conversations about what your next move will be, career-wise, school-wise, it makes things a lot smoother, and easier to even deal with, because your spouse has your back, right? You have each other's back. So if, especially when you have children, it becomes even that more difficult. If your spouse doesn't support the decision that you make, it's very it's hard. So you should not make any decisions about your career without consulting your spouse, right? So thank God that I have a husband who's very supportive in everything that I do, but I had to learn to first consult and ask him, hey, I want to do this. I'm thinking about leaving this job, or I'm thinking about doing this. What do you think about that? So he's always like, yeah, whatever. But I have to ask him because he has to have my back, right? So.
And I think kind of just similar to what Shanique just said is just being inclusive with every decision. So whether it's regarding career or school, whatever it is, just making sure that your spouse is on board with every decision that you make. And I think, you know, when you do get to the point where you have to balance your time between, you know, work and time with your spouse, you have to be intentional about making sure that you set aside quality time. You know, so we have a system where we actually, you know, we have a joint calendar, so she knows all the activities that I have. You know, I put my work schedule in there, so we know, you know, sorry. So we know basically what each other's doing every single day. And what we do, we're intentional about scheduling quality time together, you know. So when we have a free slot in our schedule, we know that we're both available. We'll put that slot, you know, set aside that time so we know that, okay, this is the time that we're going to be spending together. So this way we know that, you know, yes, I have work for this many hours, you know, for this many days out of the week, but at least we'll have this time together. And I think that's where the balance comes in, when you're inclusive and intentional.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. And we have one more question from Erica, and then we're going to wrap up.
How do you get your spouse to be on the same page as you spiritually?
Well, two couples for this one.
I think prayer changes things. I was born and grew up in church, and my husband here, he wasn't in church, so, I mean, I'm married to him regardless. Even though he wasn't in church, I knew he was for me, and because I prayed about it, and you know, here we are 25 years later, and I just keep praying for him, asking God to save him. I said, Lord, you know, just keep confessing certain things, as for me and my household will be saved, you know, and you know, and we'll serve the Lord and everything else, and God will answer eventually. I mean, it took some time, but God answers in his time.
One more couple to answer that question?
Yeah, definitely just prayer, conversations, and just find a mutual ground, even in regards to, like, in spirituality, and being considerate about the other person's viewpoints. I counsel couples to the same thing, whereas you might find a person who grew up in churches like that, and the other spouse didn't really know much about church or had bad experiences. And so just trying to find an angle where they're coming from, just their own personal background and own personal history. And just as the more you understand that person, you know how to pray more effectively, but then ultimately you'll be more empathetic and you'll figure out ways where you kind of eventually bring them in. I think the best way is you find a church or find a spiritual atmosphere that's more comfortable for that person than it is for you. Because I also know some people that's in some like really weird churches, and I'm like, you want your husband to come here? Like, nothing but a woman running the church, dancing on anybody wants to do. You think he's going to come and sit under that? Well, you know what I mean? So it's all these different things you just got to take into consideration as well. But ultimately, God can do anything, so leave it up to him.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you all for your questions. First of all, the audience, give yourself a nice hand, all right? All right. Love yourself a little bit more than that. Come on. All right. And let's just give our hand out to our wonderful, amazing married couple that took their time to answer your questions.
no matter how crazy he was, were, they still answered it. So let's just give him a hand of applause. Come on.
I feel like they were holding back. Some of you guys were getting shy.
A little bit. Y'all was holding back a little bit. I expected a little bit more ratchosity, but that's okay.
Maybe they, if they have any additional questions and you really want to answer, just write, maybe write some stuff down and
yes.
Probably take them after, right?
Yeah, that would be good. And I also want to implore you guys. Oh, okay, Ebony, you got that. You got that.
I had a question, Pastor, and now I don't remember what I had. But you see, when I turned around to him, I said, now, why would you do that? He said, oh, man, I got to get that mic back. But now I don't remember what I was about to ask. You see that? You see? You see?
That was the Lord.
That wasn't the Lord.
Thank you, Pastor.
All right, guys. I also want to encourage you guys to reach out to these married couples. You see them here. We're presenting them. If you guys have any additional questions, now you know. These are some of our awesome married couples. And we also have a few here in the audience as well. But I encourage you, if you're looking to get married, if you're curious about dating, all these aspects, reach out, touch and agree with these people. They know what they're talking about. They've been through the experience. And, yeah. That's all I wanted to say. I just want to say thank you once again, guys. And we're going to wrap this baby up. Come on, let's just all stand up. Stand up, por favor.
So let's pray together. Yes. Let's pray. Everybody grab hands of somebody. Grab hands. Just grab hands. Amen. So a lot has been said. I hope some of the things that you guys said stuck with you. I know some of you guys are all in different journeys. In terms of where you're going in life and in love. And I just believe that God just really wants to meet us where we are, as long as we're willing and we're open to hearing His voice on and His perspectives on how we're supposed to go about our lives and our love lives, particularly about where we stand in that area. And many of you guys have been in different relationships that may have caused tension and strain in your relationships with each other, as well as maybe your spouses. But I just want to pray that God will heal our hearts and continue to work in us. There's no fear in love, the Bible says. And so we want to be bold and we want to be committed. It takes courage to be committed in a relationship and in a marriage, amen? And so let's bow our heads and let's ask God to just release His love. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you for the grace that we need to do things the right way when it comes to marriage, when it comes to relationships. The enemy has so many different snares and traps that he wants to use to pervert what you have designed for us. Lord, beyond just the marriage, God, marriage is the foundation of a strong community. It's the foundation of families, the foundation of how life flows. Life will never flow outside of the context of a man and a woman, married, committed, devoted. And it will never happen if people don't honor marriage. So Holy Spirit, I pray that you will breathe on us a new sense of honor, a new sense of devotion, and a new level of respect. Lord God, we don't want people to settle for anything less than what you have planned for us. We come against the spirits that would try to cause us to settle for being side chicks and for allow us to just settle to be men who just go around sleeping with women without any regards to our spouses or for each other. Lord God, that's not your plan. That's not your plan. And we rebuke the plan of the enemy now in the name of Jesus. We come against every snare of the enemy, every lie from the pit of hell that he uses in this generation, like Netflix and chill and all these different elements, God, to cause us to remove the standard of holiness and righteousness and purity that's designed to keep us for the one, for the right one. And so, God, even those who've made mistakes, even us, just like how you've forgiven us of our sins, anyone else who's made stupid mistakes and silly decisions, God, Father, you're the God of the second chance. You're the God of the third and fourth and fifth chance. So no matter where we've gone, no matter what we've done, you are still able, God, to restore, to renew, to revitalize, to revive, to continue to keep us, God, at that level that you've called us to walk in. So Holy Spirit, breathe over every single person under the sound of my voice. May you release your grace into the hearts of your people. Hallelujah. God, show us, God, the way that you want us to relate to one another, the right way, the way that you designed. And Father, I thank you, God, that no matter those who might be struggling in their marriage, I pray for a release of grace in their marriages, God. That, Father, before the night is over, they'll be able to communicate where they couldn't communicate. They'll be able to see eye to eye in areas where they couldn't see eye to eye. And that men who have a hard time opening up will learn to open up. And that woman will learn to submit and love their husbands, just like the Bible says we should do, Father. Lord, this is all of this is for your glory. And when you're glorified, God, we will bear much fruit. We will see the benefits and rewards of that. And so, Holy Spirit, have your way in our lives. We give you all the praise. We thank you, God, for renewing hearts. And for those who are on the fence about their decisions to love and to be loved, I just ask that you would meet them where they are. I thank you, God, that even those who are single will value their singleness and use that as a time to continue to devote to you, to serve you, to be able to honor you in their personal vows before you, God. And let this time where we all are in this season of love and affection, let it be pure, let it be a time of consecration. And we give you praise in advance for the fruit that's going to come as a result of this conversation that we've had as a church and as a family. Thank you, Lord, in advance. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right.
This concludes another life-changing teaching from Hungry for God Church. For social media updates and more teachings from our pastors and leaders, please visit our site, h4gchurch.com.